title of our message this morning is this: We are a body. We are a body. First of all, I want to thank Mark and Forrest for filling in for Judy and I were away on vacation. If you've never prepared a Sunday school lesson or a sermon from scratch, you may not appreciate how much is involved in putting a sermon together. So I want to just publicly thank them for their commitment and their willingness to add that to everything else that was going on in their life. If you've been with us the past few months, you will know that we have spent numerous weeks looking at the motivational gifts of Romans 12. So if you're not in Romans 12 yet, if you would turn to Romans 12 in your Bible, Romans chapter 12, it's in the New Testament. You go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Then when you find Romans, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We've been looking at the spiritual gifts, motivational gifts that God has given us. Now we're taking the time to see what Paul had to say before these words concerning the gifts, as well as what he had to say after he gave the message concerning the gifts. And the reason we're doing this is because the best way to understand the text is to what? Read it in context. That's right. That's the number one word when you study, number one rule when you're studying the Bible. The best way to understand a text is to read it in context. And that's what we're taking the time to do now for the next few weeks. So far, we've looked at the first three verses of Romans chapter 12. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to stand again. We want to review those verses, and we want to read them together this morning. So stand with me as we read the Word of God. It says this. Let's read it together. Therefore, I urge you. Romans. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse 1, Paul says, because of all the things, that I've written about in the first 11 chapters regarding what God has done for us, he says, it only makes sense that you give yourself or offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. In verse 2, Paul says that our lives should not look like the world does. That we need to be seen differently. And that only happens, Paul says, as we allow God to do the work of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you were with us that week, you know, you might remember that I had mentioned that the Greek word we translate transformed, gives us the word transformed, is the same Greek word that we get the word metamorphosis from. And Paul is saying that as different as a caterpillar looks from a butterfly, your lives need to look different from the world. Spiritually speaking, there should be no reason why anyone in your life should think that you are a caterpillar, having Satan as your God, as opposed to being a butterfly, where Christ is living in you. Verse 3, Paul says, attitudes matter. He said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Paul says, apart from God, we are nothing. Everything we have is from God. And when God asks us to do something for him, he even has to give us everything for us to be able to do it for him. Now, I guess it's through the first three verses, and leads us up to verses 4 and 5, which we want to look at today. But let me just say this. If you've missed any of the series on the spiritual gifts or verses 1, 2, and 3, you can either go online and listen to it on the website. You can download it from the website to one of your devices. Or if you're old school like me, just see Bree in the back, and she'd be happy to give you one of those hard copies called a CD, which probably won't be around much longer. So if you want to keep them and sell them, give them to your grandkids, they can sell them for antiques. So we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. This one, like Mark reminded us last week, every perfect sermon has 3 points. So we're going to look at, we have 3 points this morning. The first one is this. There is another body. There is another body. Do you notice the change? Well, you didn't, because I forgot to read verses 4 and 5. So let's read those right now. Then we'll see the change. Verse 4 says this. Just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, in verse 1, Paul urges the Christians in Rome to give their physical bodies to worship God. Now he uses the same term body to describe the church. Now he's not talking about a church building. He's talking about people that have come into a personal relationship with Christ. People that realize that because of their sins, it was impossible for them to have a relationship with God. No matter how good they were, no matter how many things they did, no matter how many times they came to church, how many times they took communion, or how many times they tried to pray, they came to that point and they realized none of those things impressed God. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, which includes you, your sins, and my sins. It's that person that says, God, apart from you, I cannot spend eternity in heaven. And you came to that point in your life where you finally realized that you needed to accept his gift. And his gift was seen on a cross where God sent his son. He loved us so much that he sent his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's those kinds of people that Paul's talking about. That's the body he's talking about. He's talking about the body of Christ. Matter of fact, even Jesus called it the church when he said this, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Paul in verse 1 and 2, he's talked about verse 1, 2, and 3, he's talked about one body, ours. Our physical body. Now he focuses on the diversity in many people. Yet the unity that diversity brings to one body. Paul says that although the church body represents many members, and many members with different gifts, functions, and abilities, he says this in verse 4 and 5. When you and I choose to become living sacrifices, when we allow God's transformation to happen in our lives, when we're not thinking too highly of ourselves, then that diversity comes together to form one unified body. You know, and I'm sure you've thought of this as well. I've thought of this on many occasions. You know, sometimes we think that the more people involved in a project, the harder it gets, right? You ever say, you know what? Just forget it. I'll just do it myself. You ever do that? Yeah, it's just too many people involved. Yet in God's sovereign plan for His church, when you and I are walking in the Spirit, the more people involved, the better. That's how God's designed it. Any of you watching the World Series? Really? Why? I like baseball, but not that much anymore. But anyway, what have you seen? And I think I maybe seen 10 minutes of every game. And any Cubs fans? Don't be embarrassed. Oh, one. Oh, you're voting for the Cubs? Any Indian fans? Oh, we got division in this house. All right, we're going to pause and have a word of prayer for Deb and Bill right now. But whether you follow baseball or not, imagine with me for a moment if you had a baseball team full of self-centered players. You had your best pitcher wanting to play left field, and he's never played the outfield in his life. What if all the coaches all of a sudden said, you know what, I know more about baseball than our manager does, and they're all fighting to be in charge? What if the slowest runner, and on our softball team, that would be me. But what if the slowest runner decided that he wanted to lead the team in stolen bases? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if everyone did what they wanted to do? If people were trying to do things that they're not gifted to do? If all the coaches wanted to be in charge? The team would lose any kind of cohesiveness. There would be no unity. They would become ineffective, and they end up losing. True unity arises when each team member is willing to play the specific position assigned to him. I think one of the reasons that the church in America has become so weak is this very thing. We have people in the church trying to be individuals instead of trying to become one body. Stay with the baseball analogy with me for a moment. You have people in the church that refuse to have that refuse to leave the role of spectator and use their gifts and abilities in the church. Then you have those that are critical about everything and think that in order to get things done correctly, they need to be in charge. Then you have those that have no idea what their spiritual gift is, so they're trying to do things that God never intended for them to do. This is one reason why Paul discusses the motivational gifts in verses 6 to 8, so that people will function within their God-given giftedness. There's another body, and that body's us. Secondly, there's another focus. There is another focus. It's not that I don't know what I'm going to say next. I'm just waiting for everybody to get done writing. That's great. You need to be taking notes, because I can't remember, and the older I get, the least I remember. So notes are good. There's another focus. Instead of his focus now, Paul, on the individual, Paul changes the focus to the diverse uniqueness and importance of each member to this body we call the church. Verse 4 tells us the obvious when it says, members do not all have the same function. But that does not mean that people are less important to the body because their functions vary. Doesn't mean that at all. It's true. There are functions in the church that carry more responsibility than others. Dawn Trask is our Christian Ed Director, and she has a certain function. Oh, really, she has many functions. If you follow her around one week, you'd be amazed at all the things that she does. But she has a certain function. But that does not make her more important than the ladies that are working on the ladies' night out for next month. as Mark mentioned last week, as your pastor, God holds me to a different level of responsibility, as well as accountability. But that does not mean that those people that clean the church every week are any less important to make this body function correctly. I'll give you an example. Powell Montague, he and Deb left last week to go back to Florida for this season. But Powell mows and grooms the lawn every week at the parsonage. Does he do it because I'm unable to? No. Matter of fact, I enjoy mowing the lawn because it gives me a little exercise, and it's a brainless operation for me. It's not for everybody. Some people really take it serious and do a good job like Powell does. I'm not putting Powell down. I'm just saying for me, just going in circles just lets my brain just do nothing. But that's not why he does it. He doesn't do it because I don't like it. He doesn't do it because I can't do it. He wants to do it because he said he's not gifted as a pastor. But he can do these things so that I can fulfill my responsibilities I have as your pastor and be able to use my spiritual gifts. And it works. It works for both of us. Powell uses the talents and his spiritual gift of service that God has sovereignly given to him, which frees me up to use the talents and gifts that God has sovereignly given to me. Although most of you do not have specific offices or titles, every one of you here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, from the new convert to the most mature Christian, has a spirit-given ability to minister to the body of Christ through your spiritual gifts. Unlike people, God is not interested in your titles. You ever meet people and you ask them and you try to find out who they are and they tell you what they do? Right? Aren't most people like that? Well, I'm the director of this, or I'm in charge of this, or I'm the owner, you know? They want to be impressed. But God doesn't impress God with my titles. You don't need a title to serve God. You know what impresses God? This does. God is impressed in our faithfulness with the spiritual gifts he's given us to use. That's what impresses God. It's not the title, not that I'm a pastor or a Christian ed director or in charge of maintenance or a deacon or anything else. Those are functions we have to operate. But what impresses God the most, and what is he's concerned about, is how am I using the gifts, the spiritual gifts that he's given us to use. As with the parts of your body, whether it's an obvious part like an arm or an eye, or a hidden or unnoticed part like the small blood vessel or a lung. Each part is critical for your body to function as a whole. And it's no different when it comes to the body of Christ. Each part is important. And it is because of the diversity of the different parts working together that allows Christ's body to be and to do what Christ intended for his body to do. That's why God has gifted you, just like you are, so that you can help the body here at Center Bonside Christian Church to do what God has always intended for us to do. When you think about it, our bodies are amazing. Well, mine's not so amazing anymore, but bodies are amazing in themselves. They're just an amazing thing. Think about it. When is the last time that you had to ask your heart to pump blood through your body? When did you have to talk to your lungs and try to talk them into working so that you could breathe? How many times have you asked your eyes to water so they don't dry out? Or how often have you had to hold that sneeze before you could convince your eyes to close so when you sneeze, they wouldn't pop out. For most of us, none of us have ever done any of those things because our body, we don't have to, because our body works in unity. Although made up of many parts, each part works in unity with the other parts so that your body works at its highest efficiency. Now, as you get older, your body doesn't always work together as it used to. Like right now, I'm struggling. My mind says, Brian, you need to do this. And my body's screaming, don't think about it. Don't do it. And then when I start to do it, it starts to fight me. In his book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, the well-known surgeon, Dr. Paul Brand, writes this. The king of cells, the one I have devoted much of my life to studying, is the nerve cell. It has an aura of wisdom and complexity about it. Spider-like, it branches out and unites the body with a computer network of dazzling sophistication. Its axons, or wires, he calls them, carrying distant messages to and from the human brain, can reach a yard in length. He goes on and says, I never tire of viewing these varied specimens or thumbing through books which render cells. Doesn't that sound like an exciting afternoon? Going through books looking at cells? Anyway, he goes on. Individually, these cells seem puny and oddly designed. But I know these invisible parts cooperate to lavish me with the phenomenon of life. My friends, that description is the body of Christ. Christ has made the church like he's made our bodies. The church is composed of individual different cells that are knit together to form one body. And it is when we as Christ's church operate as one, operate as God intended us to, that we too are lavished with the phenomenon of life. It is when you and I are so in tune with God and so in tune with God and each other that we can impact the world, your world, for Christ. Imagine with me for a moment that your heart decides that it doesn't feel like working today. What happens? Eventually you'll die. Imagine that your liver got upset with your collarbone and said, I may not be able to leave this body, but I'll tell you what, I'm only working on my terms. Well, what would happen if your eye thought that your fingernails, ladies, was getting too much attention? And the eye said, you know what, I'm not going to open up for you. Imagine what it would happen if your stomach decided that it didn't want to be part of your body and decided to isolate itself from the other parts. I know that these questions are kind of far out because they'd never happen. But we should be able to say that about our church too, that it never happens. But when it comes to the church, sadly to say, I am convinced that is why many churches have no life. That's the reason we have dysfunctional churches and not a church that runs as smoothly as God intended. We have isolationists in our churches, people that refuse to get into the lives of others. We have people that will only do the things that they feel like doing, or they are only willing to work when it's convenient for them. We have people walk away from the church because they get upset with another part of the body. I have to tell you, as your pastor, these past few months have been very encouraging to Judy and I as we watch people stepping up to serve, people that have taken the gifts that God gave them and are using them. and they're using them to impact people. And now, it's even affecting our, starting to affect our kids. As I mentioned earlier, Emily wanted to go to Worship America. So she asked her Sunday school teacher, can I organize a group to go? And many of us did. Vicky has used her spiritual gift and passion to organize and set up our ladies' tea yesterday. And let me just, in passing, let me just encourage you ladies that invited someone to come. I know for some of you, and we had a great number of visitors in here yesterday. I know some of you ladies invited people, like for Judy, for example, and the lady told her at 10 o'clock in the morning that she wasn't coming. And I know some of you other people invited people and they didn't come. Don't be discouraged. You did the right thing. And God knows that. See, you cannot control what people do. All you can do is invite them. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged because they didn't come. Because God may be working in their hearts in another way. But Vicky's passion, get back to my illustration here. Vicky's passion and desire to work on the ladies' tea flowed over to her daughter, Meredith. Meredith is in what, first grade? She's in first grade. She asked her mom, can I invite my friend to come to this ladies' tea? And you know what happened? Not only did her friend come, but so did her friend's mom. See, those are some of the exciting things that are happening around our church. Matt and Amber are using their spiritual gifts, heading up our Pioneers Club. Gary and Sharon are adjusting our Angel Tree program so that we can get more into our community. There's a man in our church, I won't mention his name, I don't want to embarrass him, but there's a man in our church that loves to watch the Patriots play football. Yet, that part wouldn't embarrass him, but this part would. He has chosen to give up his Sunday afternoon games to go to another town to attend a Dave Ramsey seminar so that he can come back and help people in our church with financial issues. Forrest, I believe, I think your class is the biggest membership class since you've started teaching. I had someone come up to me today out of the blue and just say, Pastor, I want you to know, this is my favorite day of the week to come to church. And I'm thinking, you know what? It is for me too. But how many people come? And so I see these things coming and happening. And for your pastor, it's very exciting. We have ladies meeting twice a week in the mornings for intercessory prayer. One of the things we've been praying for at prayer meeting is more opportunities to reach into our community. I have this meeting once a month with a group of ladies from town. I'm the only guy. And there's probably 10 or 11 ladies in this group. So you can imagine how that goes. Matter of fact, they've given a name to our club. We are called Happy Helpers. You have to know that I have always had a secret yearning in my heart that someday I could belong to the Happy Helpers Club. And I'm not making light of it because everyone in that group has a passion to help this town. But the point is this. This week we had our monthly meeting, and I met with this woman that directs after-school programs at the elementary school here in Barnstead. And you know what her greatest need is? Her greatest need is space and volunteers. She does not have enough volunteers or the space for the 73 kids that she's responsible for from 2:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday after school. So I met with her. I brought her to the church. She was ecstatic. She was ecstatic when I showed her around our church to think that we would be willing to work with her. She couldn't believe that we would actually have people in our church that would want to help her in her programs. And when she left, she said, Pastor Brian, she says, I just want you to know, this has been an awful week for me. But now I'm going back excited to go back to work. Why? Because God's body is operating like it should. Things are happening. People are being ministered to. God, we're seeing God in the midst of our crowd, of ourselves. There's other things. I received an email from someone this week from our church that wants to meet with me about doing a elderly outreach into our town, ministering to them. And there's many other things I could share, but due to time, I'm not going to. But I tell you something. When God's people are operating like God wants us to operate, things happen. And they don't happen because of us. They happen because we are operating, we are living our lives as God has designed us to live. See, you may be thinking, well, why is it all happening now and it hasn't been happening, say, for the last while? Well, I honestly believe it's happening now because God knows we can handle it. See, before, we had a few doing the bulk of the work. And God knew that the few could not handle anymore. But now that people are learning to live out their God-given passions, to find their spiritual gifts and use it, to make themselves available, we are becoming a functional body. God is now able to bless us with the opportunities of ministry. I believe that we are beginning to see the body of Center Bible City Christian Church start to function as God always intended for us to function. There's another body. There's another focus. And thirdly, there's another point, and that is this. There is another DNA. There's another DNA. Each of us have our own DNA, right? What does DNA do? That's the same answer I had when I asked myself that question. I have no idea. So I looked it up. Said this. DNA contains the instructions needed for organism, all right? Organism, yes. You don't know how long I've worked on this word this week, so I wouldn't say the wrong one. DNA contains the instructions needed for an organism to develop, survive, and reproduce. To carry out these functions, DNA sequences must be converted into messages that can be used to produce proteins, which are the complex molecules that do most of the work in our bodies. Don't despair. I've only got one paragraph left, okay? DNA is estimated to contain instructions that, if they were written out, would fill a 1,600-page book. A nerve cell may operate according to instructions from volume 4, and the kidney cell from volume 25. But both carry the whole compendium, meaning it knows everything the other cell knows. It has everything in it that the other cell has. That's what that word means. It provides each cell sealed credential of membership in the body. Every cell possesses a genetic code so completely that the entire body could be reassembled from information in any one of the body cells. As our DNA permeates the individual cells in our body, so it is with the DNA of Christ. God's DNA is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God, if you're part of this body, God's DNA permeates every one of you, everyone in this body. Christ's body connecting us members with a true, perfect bond. Have you ever sensed it? Do you ever meet somebody for the first time and as you're talking to them, you're thinking, wow, they must be a Christian. They just sound like it. Has it ever happened to you? Yeah, it does. Because you're walking in the Spirit, and they're walking in the Spirit, and you can just feel that bond. When Judy and I, when we go overseas to teach, and we spend time with the students, people we have never met before, there is a bond. And it's a bond that continues for years. Some people that we met many, many years ago are still in contact with us today because it's that bond of our DNA, that Holy Spirit. And as exciting as it is, and it is, to see God moving within our body. I've never been involved in the church. I've been involved in the church all my life. I've never been involved in the church where they have not also had rebellious cells in the body. And rebellious cells are like cancer. Cancer, but it's cancer that's benign. It doesn't kill the church, but this cancer, this rebellious cell, just simply feeds on blessings and benefits at the expense of the rest of the body. They're feasting while sucking the life out of those that are working. They come to church, they take it in. They might even leave full on Sunday, but you never see them again all week. They take in, but they seldom give back to the body. And in all honesty, often this kind of person will zap the church of his vitality. And if there's no repentance on the part of that person, they will zap out so much life that the church body becomes skinny or weak and cannot function normally. And sadly to say, even this church has experienced that kind of church in the past. If we had to function as God intended us to function, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 5, then we need to act as one body. We need to act in unity and not act as a dysfunctional family where the focus is on me or how things will affect me. God has designed the church to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his voice. Because we are the body of Christ. God wants to share a common life. Think about that for a minute. Because we are a body, God wants us to share a common life. He wants us to share a common ministry. He wants us to share a common power. And above all else, he wants us to come under a common head. See, that's what a body does. See, so we live in a time that's so busy and so fast that many times we don't take the time to be a body. We don't take the time to have that common life or that common ministry. And because of that, we don't experience the common power, because we're not living under the common head. Center of Bible Christian Church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has empowered us, given us countless different combinations of spiritual gifts, some of which Paul is getting ready to talk about next time we get together. And it's God's intent that these diverse gifts bring us together and not divide us. And in case we forget, if we forget God's intent, Paul reminds us at the end of verse 5 by saying this: each member belongs all the others. See, you wouldn't wake up one morning and cut off your arm, or you wouldn't wake up one morning and take a body part and just throw it to the side. Well, God never intended us to do that as a church family either, as his body. We are part of one another. But you got to remember this. Your gift, whatever it might be, isn't for you. It's for me. It's for that person sitting beside you. It's that person sitting across the room from you. And my gift isn't for me. It's for you. We belong to one another. As the body, the physical body operates, that is the same way that God wants his body to operate. I want to close the message this morning by reading verses 4-5 in context. Because when you read it in context, it makes all the sense in the world. So stand with me this morning as we read Romans chapter 12, verses 1-5 together before we sing our closing song. Let's read it together. Therefore, I urge as Anna comes, we're going to close with a song this morning.